This is a very special day. Can you guess what's special about this day?
Well, is it that the Saturday special is today?
Well, I suppose you could say
that. Is it your birthday?
No, it's not my birthday, but you're getting warm.
Is it your mom's birthday?
It's my mom's
birthday. Happy birthday, Kay.
Well, actually, I had breakfast with her. No, I'm not allowed to tell. I had breakfast with her, and I'm not allowed to tell how old she is.
37.
That would make me... Well, anyhow. I will say how old I am. I'm 54, and I will be 55 on November 9th. So that'll have to give you some sort of a clue.
And you're the baby.
That's right. I am the baby of the family. Yeah. She didn't tell me I couldn't say that.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah, and so anyhow, yeah, I want Ma, love you. You're the greatest Ma anybody could have. And I was going to say she's our mother. She's the KSCO.
She is. She's the matriarch.
She's the KSCO mother. She's not just my mother. She's everybody's mother who works at KSCO and everybody's mother who listens to KSCO. So welcome and happy birthday, Ma. Let's start the show.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today you know. On KSCO Radio.
Well, I'll be darned. It's sunny outside. Or at least a little sunny. I suppose that's good news. I'm always in a better mood when the sun shines. But, I don't know, I sort of didn't expect that, so I guess it's a pleasant surprise, but it doesn't mean that we're not going to do the program that we planned and we've been promoting for quite a number of days about the weather, so stay with us, it's going to be real interesting for the next 2 hours.
Good morning, now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Don't we have a promo? Don't we have the number 122 promo? Okay, well, welcome to the Saturday special. While Aaron gets that 122 promo out, and as soon as she tells me we have it, we will play it for the final time here on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO.
I have it. I just put it in the wrong spot.
Okay.
I'm allowed to mess up.
You are. Nobody else is. Nobody else is. Have you had it up to your neck? No, your eyeballs with all the rain? Well, unless you're a fish, your answer must be yes, and fish do not listen to KSCO. Seriously, the weather pattern we have experienced so far this year is not normal. In fact, it's downright bizarre. What's going on here? Manifestation of global warming, maybe? Or could this extreme weather change actually be something planned and executed by humans, possibly with some sinister agenda? Now, don't roll your eyes. After all, could or would anyone have predicted or believed the premeditated tragedies of 9/11? Richard Dunn is a concerned citizen who has reason to believe that all the rain we have endured for so long is not only not normal, but not natural. In fact, he is so concerned that he has decided to personally sponsor a discussion of this subject on the next KSCO special. This Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on Those Who Are Called Nuts, maybe the only smart ones radio, AM 1080 KSCO. My mind is open. Is yours? No. Yes. All right. Welcome to the Saturday special. It's MZ and Aaron, and we're going to be talking about what the promo said. We want to welcome Richard Dunn, who is on the phone with us. Let's bring Richard up. Hey, Richard.
Good morning, Michael.
How in the world are you?
Oh, hanging in there.
So you and your wife had an idea earlier this week about why not do a Saturday special or some kind of a program, I guess optimally a Saturday special, about the weather.
Exactly.
And I couldn't agree with you more, and you said, I want to put my money where my mouth is, and I'd like to sponsor such a thing. And, of course, that was music to my ears. So
money talks.
Yeah. So tell us, what's your background? Are you a meteorologist or?
No, I do have a private pilot's license. I studied a little bit about weather systems in that course of instruction. But my main background is I'm an observer. I've noticed strange weather for a long time now, several years, probably going back to the early 90s. I first started noticing the lines in the sky that people claim were contrails. But as a pilot, I know that they're not, because contrails will dissipate within a minute, I believe. They're just ice crystals.
Okay, so contrails, yeah. I've heard, you know, on conspiracy programs and late night programs and Dave's program. By the way, Dave Allen is supposed to be co-hosting with us. I've got the pots up, and I think Dave is supposed to be there. Are you, Dave?
Yep.
All right.
Right on, Dave.
You are. I think he's there. I heard.
Yep.
I heard part of him.
I'm here.
Okay, good. All right. At Richard's request here, he wanted Dave to co-host the program here, and I can't think of a better idea. Dave, through the many years that you did the Nighthawk program as really the most popular local radio personality of the Monterey Bay, you know, area of all time, for quite a number of years, you had quite a number of programs talking about this topic, right?
Yep.
So I know you have a great personal interest in it.
Looks like asking evil to your tiered question. Get one word back. Yep.
Yes. And right, but I
tell
I know
about your life. Yep.
Monosyllable answers.
Yeah.
How you doing, Dave? You okay?
He's like, what's Billy? But 8, 9, 10 years ago, more than that, 10 years ago, I was noticing, I'm always looking up, looking for weird things. Many times I would look up, wow, those jet trails don't disappear. They get thicker. Today was crystal blue skies this morning. Then over the last 2 hours, there were trails going back and forth.
Yeah, they're happening right now. People can look up and see them.
That's right. Matter of fact, I got a hold of a weatherman up in Idaho. His name was Scott Stevens. He might be joining us. Michael, I talked to him.
Actually, yes. Actually, I just see that on line four, Scott in Idaho. That's got to be Scott Stevens here.
He's a weatherman. He actually quit his job to pursue this.
Okay,
now,
great.
If people like myself and
that's wonderful.
You know,
I'd send
you. We're all nutcases. Let's bring on the nutcase weatherman.
Yeah, you sent me an email with a link to his website, and I actually shot him an email late last night, so I guess he got it here.
Yeah.
Scott Stevens, are you there?
I am here this morning.
Right. Hey, thanks for calling into the KSCO Saturday special with Richard Dunn, Dave Allen, and MZ. And, of course, we have a rather large audience listening, and I'm sure part of which will be participating in the program. So what's this about? So you've got weather in your blood, as it were, huh?
Oh, boy. Either you have it or you don't have it, but we're all subject to it.
Uh-huh.
It was a scouting merit badge that started it for me when I was 11 years old.
Uh-huh.
And from that merit badge, I've always liked numbers and either wanted to be a pilot, an astronaut, or something to do with the skies. But as I paid attention on career day, I thought, okay, the salary's going to be decent, and I get to be at home at night, and there's no homework. But so weather was just kind of in my blood, and all the way from about senior in high school, I was working at a television station here in eastern Idaho. Then trucked off to the University of Kansas.
So you were the guy who points to the weather map that isn't really there, and you sort of got to get skilled. But...
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. And I did that for 18 years. Here in Idaho for the last 10. Prior to that, Albany, New York, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Topeka, Kansas, and Omaha, Nebraska. So I've worked in a few places and dealt with some different climates across the country.
Right.
But I have to tell you, these trails are not something I wanted to venture into, to be honest with you.
Well, okay, and to be honest with you, every time I used to hear Dave years ago talk about contrails and strange phenomena in the weather being caused by other than natural, things, I sort of thought, okay, Dave's a great broadcaster, he's a buddy, he's a friend.
I'm with
but
you, buddy.
But he's sort of half nuts here, and that's probably what makes him a good broadcaster. I'm starting to at least, you know, opened my mind to the possibility that, that sinister stuff might be going on here, okay? So help us out. I mean...
Well, I looked at it like this. Where you've got airports that have one runway active. The planes are going to take off, and time and time again, they're going to follow a very similar path out of a particular runway, depending on the local wind conditions. And I was seeing photographs of these stripes in the skies. I'm like, well, it's an airport, and the planes get up, they get aloft, and then they just vector off to their direction. And I didn't like some of the terminology that I was reading on the websites concerning the chemtrails and chem clouds, and they were harp clouds, and it just didn't resonate with me. So it's fringe. Okay, there may be something going on, but I could not find anywhere on the web where somebody had actually made sense of it.
Uh-huh.
And so I was able to dismiss it as an incomplete story. And what I really didn't like was the idea that there was intentional poisoning of us.
Now, by whom? I mean, who,
and that was the whole point.
Who was suggesting that? I mean, where did you first hear that? And to be honest, I haven't listened. It sounds so far fetched to me that any time someone would start going down that road, I'd roll my eyes and turn the radio channel.
That's exactly what I would do as well, because I just could not believe that they would be up there. And this is not a terribly effective way of getting at a population, is through low dosing of metals. Well, there's better ways if you want to kill people to do it.
Well, who would want to kill people?
Sick.
Who?
Exactly.
Not, I mean, our government?
Our government, other governments, and I did not have a motive. I did not have a person behind.
Okay, you're
it.
Speaking in the past tense. Fast forward to the present
okay.
now. Have you figured it out?
Well, what I've figured out is once I... let's go back to 2004. What had happened is I was looking at visible satellite imagery. It was a Sunday evening, looking at some things going on in Montana. And there was organization to a cold front which just belied the natural. Clouds typically form in and around mountains and then will build off from there. But this cold front broke all the rules. The clouds were organized like sliced bread. And then towards the end of the front, the bread was turned 90 degrees and then reassumed its north-south orientation. I thought, that cannot happen.
Well, wait a minute. Why can't it happen? You're a meteorologist. Tell us why it can't happen.
Well, there's some randomness. There's some chaos that is evident within the atmosphere. Local terrain effects, a boundary layer effect where we get turbulence next to the ground and then we get much smoother movement of air once we get off of the turbulence associated with, say, the bottom 2,000 or 3,000 feet.
Uh-huh.
And these clouds were far, far too organized to have been naturally occurring. And there was even one section...
Farmed clouds.
Literally.
Like they have farmed salmon. They have farmed clouds. I mean, are you serious?
Absolutely. I mean, it was...
All right, listen, you're the pro here. I'm gonna...
Well, what happened was when I saw this, I got sick to my stomach because I realized that they were not just capable of managing big weather events, i.e. hurricanes or droughts or blizzards, those kind of things, but that simply a grid had been overlaid over the entire planet by which the weather then conformed to. And this is where the trails came into play. I put cameras around the house to see the behavior of these clouds, why they were short, they were coming into these very regular, very geometric shapes. And these planes were constantly in the background. And then I began to notice that there was specific meteorological, specific cloud phenomena that these planes would fly through. Now, if you've ever flown across the country, you know those pilots will go to the, they will find a smooth layer of the atmosphere to fly through to avoid turbulence.
Yeah.
And these planes were flying through the clouds at 18,000 feet, at 21,000 feet, at 24,000 feet. Most commercial planes don't get any lower than 31,000 feet.
Right.
So there was this whole fleet of planes that was concerned with what the clouds were doing and the behavior of the contrails once deposited in the clouds. And I've got some time-lapse imagery on my website, which is weatherwars.info.
Weatherwars, all one word, lowercase, weatherwars.info. What?
Info, I-N-F-O.
Okay.
And what this taught me or told me was that they were laying out these trails as markers in the sky, and it would be these markers they would look for how the trail would simply disperse, dust in the wind. And from above, with different chemical markers in the trails from space, you could then look down at the atmosphere and look at it moving or watch it moving at all of its four dimensions. With a layer, with certain contrails deposited, say, in the bottom 15,000 feet, another color, well, at least when viewed in these from space, say from 15 to 22,000 feet, and then another one from 22 to 30, and then yet another from 30 and above. And whereas the Weather Service uses balloons, radio sondes, to sample the atmosphere, when you hand this project over to military or black ops, then the budget is not an issue. And they simply have deployed a fleet of planes to let us know, to help these weather engineers guide the weather, mark off certain areas where we're getting manipulation, and see how the atmosphere responds. And if they don't like it, they'll hit it again. Remark it, watch the dispersion of the trail, see if they're happy with it, and if so, then move on to the next target. But it is an incredibly complex and ongoing game. And this was a big surprise for me. I was expecting that it was just it was something that we could do. But
what did you do when this surprise hit you?
You want to tell everybody. I mean, once you figure
so,
out.
So this is 2004. So up until then, you know, this was a bunch of hooey to you, right?
There was some substance, but I didn't understand the big picture. And that only came with time, with watching and observing and literally discerning the purposes of those planes. And so it made sense that they need metals up there to get a reflective image back into space. They need those metals to also create the plasma environment for the propagation of these extremely low-frequency waves.
Okay.
And you can make these waves visible through the trails, and thereby they can see what they're doing.
Okay, this must be great for Richard Dunn, the sponsor of this program, who's still on the line here. We have you on hold here because for some reason we're getting a little interference, but Richard's back now. Richard, do you want to ask Scott any questions?
Well, I remember reading some of his material on the websites going back years, 99 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right because, you know, what he says, it's not natural. It's controlled. And, you know, there's a House of Representatives bill, H.R. 2995. Mm-hmm. And it's a bill to establish the Weather Modification Operations and Research Board and for other purposes.
Yeah.
Now, that's scary.
Okay. So who's in charge now if they're talking about...
A bunch of people. National Science Foundation, NOAA, the military, the Pentagon, the Air Force, the Navy.
I think
they're all involved. They all have a role.
I think they're all aware of what's going on. But
they are.
But what I think... Let's go back to the 70s. When the United States, through its foreign aid grants, sent off to the Soviet Union some 250-ton magnets. This was 1974. Following on, I think 2 years later in 76, we sent them Cray supercomputers. And Senator Claiborne Pell, who was chairman of the Foreign Intelligence Agency, or services, or the oversight of the Senate, was pissed. To be honest with you, he was very upset. Why are we sending the Soviet Union these incredible tools? Well, in 1976, on Bicentennial Weekend, began a chirping in the shortwave frequencies from 3 up to 30 megahertz. There was this chirping that our ham radio operators began to hear.
Oh, the woodpecker.
The woodpecker grid. Right. And it was these weapons turned on and become operational. And so it has begun, it's been since 1976 that this geophysical weapon, that this tool to manipulate the weather has been active. So
who is in charge of manipulating the weather, and for what reason would they want to manipulate the weather and cause misery and grief to people? That's what I don't understand. It sounds...
It sounds far-fetched, doesn't it?
It sounds far-fetched, but what could be the possible reason? That's mm-hmm. Get me to understand that, please.
What, military?
I think the military is aware of it and participates.
Well, okay, so no one likes the miserable rain and extreme weather and the the hurricane, where was it, in Midwest? I don't know. Where was it? There was a hurricane in
Tennessee.
Tennessee, that's right. Yeah, it was in the Midwest just recently. All these bizarre weather patterns. So who do you think someone who hates the U.S. is causing that if they have the ability to? What are you saying?
What I'm saying is that once you have a weapon that nobody suspects that you have, you can basically impose your will upon nations. Now, the administration likely was told that we would be dealing with a rash of hurricanes in 04 and 05, and even before that. And then the administration can choose to use these events as tools to further their political agenda or to assist the population. And this administration chose to use Katrina as a grab for federal power.
Okay, wait a second.
We're not even done, because it comes back to control and power. And in my opinion, it's not anymore an East versus West issue, because the UN non-environmental modification treaty specifically states that you cannot do these things to other nations. It does not specify that you cannot do this to your own population, nor transfer the technology to a third party.
Well, why do you want to do it to your own population? To get their vote? That doesn't make sense. I can understand pandering to the illegals to get vote. That's what everybody does. But you're not going to punish your people. Who's breathing into the microphone here? It's horrible. Who is it? Okay. If that's Dave, call in on the secret line. Yeah, Dave, it isn't working. Call in on the secret line, okay? And we'll get you on the telephone.
It's truly about money. It's about being able to manhandle.
Okay, who's talking now? Who's talking now?
Scott.
Okay, Richard, you're the one whose nose is breathing on the microphone.
Oh,
so
sorry.
Be careful about that, because every time that happens, no one can hear what Scott says.
Okay.
And I can't individually pot you down. You're both coming in on the same pot.
Okay.
I can put you on hold if you don't think that you're going to be on for, but I want you to be able to ask Scott questions whenever you want, So.
No, I'll hold my breath.
Okay. Sorry. But it's people tell me, I get notes written on the screen saying, "You're breathing, MZ. Stop breathing. You're heavy breathing. People can hear you." So, what the heck? go ahead, Scott. I'm sorry.
What we have to view the world in a different way than we do right or left or poor versus rich. It's simply a group of elite versus all of the rest of the population, and they have kept technologies from becoming mainstream, and this shows that their intent is not for the betterment of mankind. And this is why I'm doing what I'm doing, is that we need to change governments. Not one, not two, but we need a wholesale change of governments across the globe.
Okay, now I don't think anybody will disagree with you, at least about needing a change of government in our own country. I don't think anybody's happy. I certainly haven't found anybody who's happy with our current government. But how in the world are you going to change anything? How are we going to change anything?
The only way we change things is through knowledge. With knowledge comes empowerment. And as more knowledge creeps out there, and they have gone through great lengths to keep us stupid, literally just to keep us stupid, as that knowledge percolates out, and what we have to do is encourage intellectual curiosity on an individual basis. And as that knowledge begins to spread and people begin to look at what is happening, we should not be using oil as a fuel for energy. I mean, the technology to put oil to nothing more than a grease has been around for 80 years. And that is at the heart of what keeps this weather modification technology going. It is the access to the ether, the ability to set up resonances over specific storms to either decrease their intensity, increase their intensity, or simply leave them alone. Those three are possibilities, and we never know which is going to happen.
Okay.
You're absolutely right, Scott. Are you aware of a book called Oblivion by Lieutenant Colonel Thomas Bearden?
I have it, but haven't read it all the way through.
Yeah, he covers a lot of that, talks about scalar weapons and weather as a a weapon, and the energy from the vacuum, which I think you're talking about.
That is free. Huge.
It's there for the taking, but they won't allow us to have it. And if we did, we wouldn't need them any longer.
That's the point. It's a $6 trillion tax on the global economy.
Yes.
That these people
What are you saying?
Well, Tesla, Nikola Tesla,
okay,
discovered some of this. I believe maybe
the inventor of the Tesla coil.
Yes. Yes.
Which when I was in science class in high school, I used to love to play with Tesla coils.
Mm-hmm.
I would grab them and it would turn it on, and then I would touch someone next to me and it would arc from my finger, you know, a little electrical zapping, you know, bolt of lightning would go from my finger to the person I was touching or the thing that I was touching.
This man was brilliant.
I want my own Tesla coil. Does anybody out there in radio land have a Tesla coil that they will loan or rent or sell me? I'm sorry.
I think you can get one.
It's his scalar interferometers that are a little more difficult to come by. His ability to establish resonance with the quakes, with crust of this planet, and establish earthquakes. I mean, in 1997, we had Clinton, this Defense Secretary William Cohen, had an anti-terrorism conference specifically state that others are engaging, even in a type of eco-terrorism, whereby they can set off earthquakes, stimulate volcanoes, and alter the climate through the use of electromagnetic waves.
That's right, and he's mentioned in Colonel Bearden's book. He quotes Secretary Cohen.
You know, and the press was so concerned about a stain on Monica Lewinsky's dress at this time that, you know, the real news slipped by. But so we've got a defense secretary stating that this happened. And that means that the planet has become the new weapon of choice. And this group of men are hiding behind the planet and in their cowardly fashion and triggering and altering world events. It should not be allowed to happen.
How are you going to stop it?
Well, the first step is what we're doing, I believe. Knowledge is power, and we have to get a dialogue going.
Okay, let's get a dialogue going with our audience. You're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special with MZ and special guest Richard Dunn and Scott Stevens, both of whom are very concerned about what a lot of us feel has got to be too far-fetched to be true, and that is that the weather can now, right now, today, be and is being controlled by humans. Right?
The weather you get today is exactly the weather they want you to have. And the big risk for this nation over the coming 2 to 3 years is going to be food supply.
Okay. Help me out, gang. I want to ask some questions. I want you to help me ask some questions. 479-1080 or 477-1340. It's KSCO AM 1080, and we're going to open the phone lines as soon as we get some phone calls. So in the meantime, I guess we can continue the discussion here. Richard, when and why did you start thinking that there's something wrong here, you know, about the weather?
When every beautiful day back in the late 90s, you know, they must have stepped up their program. Every beautiful day turned into a horrible, rainy, cold, wet day.
When?
98, 99. Like I said earlier, I first started noticing back in the early 90s, about 91, 92. And then we had rain almost every day for a year. I think it was back around that time. I'd have to check my notes. And the rivers flooded, and it was just horrible. It was not normal weather. You know, when they were discussing the building a dam out in Carmel Valley, one of the arguments was, hey, you live in a desert environment. You don't expect much water. So now we have more water than, God, stop, turn off the shower, please. It's horrible. You know, it's just affecting everything.
Well,
we don't realize how important the weather is.
We've got a good number of callers. Let's start taking calls. Let's go to John at the summit first. Welcome to the KSCO Saturday Special, John.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Okay. When you first said there's contrails overhead, I looked out and there's nothing but clouds, high cirrus clouds in the normal weather pattern. I just looked out again, the clouds are breaking. There's one big fat contrail going in perpendicular directions.
Oh, yeah, I noticed it this morning. When I called Richard to confirm, you know, that he was either coming in or doing it on the telephone.
Yeah, and that will probably turn into a stratus-type layer of white, milky cloud material. And then sometimes you can see the chemical colors, purple, orange, green,
that
emanating from it.
That you see
with
the
polarizing. I would think we'd have rain later in the day from what I can see.
Probably going to have rain anyway. That's the forecast.
And, you know, the news, the local news predicted 30 days of rain. Now, that's, you know, you can only usually tell, like, a seven-day
yeah, forecast. When did that start happening? I've never noticed that before. In fact, you know, people, I once saw an interview with someone, with a meteorologist, saying we never say 50% chance of rain, because that means it may rain and it may not, and people don't like that. So
true.
They always say 40 or 30 or 60 or 80 or whatever. But I've never heard anybody predict, 30 days of rain before, except maybe the Farmer's Almanac, I guess, I suppose.
Yeah, and speaking of farmers, you know, Scott just a minute ago mentioned the food. Mm-hmm. Well, on Saturday, April 1st, last week, the business section of the Monterey County Herald, the headline is, Farmers Want Rain to Go Away Because It's Affecting the Crop and the Planting.
I want the rain to go away.
It's
in
horrible.
Fact, I think all of us, all together now, everybody in KSCO land, you remember this, you know, when you were in elementary school. You know what I'm going to sing now, aren't we going to do
rain,
it together?
Rain,
yeah, we're all day, all together. One, two, three. Rain, go away, come again some other day. See? Were you all singing? Were you all chanting with us? I have no way of knowing.
Oh, yeah.
Because we only have two phone lines active right now, but I'm just going to pretend that I just felt everybody was chanting along with us here, and maybe the power of chant will kick in or something. Hey, we have Rick and Nampa Id. Rick and Nampa Id? Hello, Rick?
Hi, Nampa, Idaho.
Oh, it says Nampa Id. Well, now it says Nampa, Idaho.
Yeah, we're kind of near Boise. We're about 20 miles from Boise.
Are you listening to us on the Internet?
Yes, but unfortunately I have dial-up, so it's kind of bad. It comes in and out because I lost my broadband connection.
Oh.
So once I get
the broadband, I hope you find it someday.
Oh, definitely. But I'm going to bring a date here. You guys might remember it was January 6th and 7th, 1976 in Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
They had almost a foot of pea-sized hail and 2 to 4 inches of snow, thunder and lightning, and a gust of wind 87 miles an hour. And that's when the weather experiment started, and you guys know about 82 with the big flood,
yes.
And then 83, and then
yeah,
so on.
And the big slides up at Love Creek in the San Lorenzo Valley.
Well, we've had in the last week, I've measured 5 inches of rain in my rain gauge, and the Weser River's been flooding. And then down to the southeast in Hagerman, Idaho, they had a tornado with golf ball-sized hail. And we don't get tornadoes in Idaho.
So what's going on, do you think?
I do see the chemtrails, and it'll start in the morning. It'll be beautiful and clear and really, really nice. And then as the day progresses, the sky turns milky. You get a ring around the sun. You get the ice crystals with the green, pink, and rainbow-colored the ice crystals and everything. And we've had trouble growing stuff. You know, the seasons have been all weird. Last year at this time, we were in the 80s, and now we're barely in the 60s. And it's been really strange. And I'm also a ham operator. I want to say hey to the Santa Cruz County Amateur Radio Club, who meets at Dominican.
I used to be WB6VNK.
My call is KC6AJR.
Oh, how do you do?
No, 7-3. Yeah, also the shortwave band. We get the harp signals quite often, and we get a lot of weird stuff on the shortwave band.
Yeah.
Well, hey, gee, thanks for calling in from Idaho. That means we got two Idahoans on the air with us today at the same time. That's great.
Well, I'm glad the sun is out, and if you get a few minutes, you should step outside and hit the beach right where you're at.
I would much rather do that than be running the radio show. This is a great radio show. In fact, the lines are jammed except for one. So,
one thing we have to say.
Your signal comes in really good at night, and once I get the select antenna up, I'll be able to really pick you guys up.
Oh, great.
So you guys come in really good at night, but unfortunately I have two other stations in the background, one from Oregon and one up north near McCall, so I kind of have to put the radio to the south there, and there's a good spot near my window where I actually pick you guys up, and right before you guys go off the air when you're doing full power right before sunset, you come in like a local.
Oh, wow. Well, that's great. Yeah, so but get your broadband fixed anyhow.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thanks, Rick. Appreciate your call.
Bye-bye.
Here comes Bill in Monterey. Thanks for waiting, Bill. You're on KSCO.
Yeah, I was wondering, do the guys think solar spots and solar flares have anything to do with the weather? And do you think they're controlling that too, or what?
That is a whole lot of energy that pours into this Earth system. And the weather being one of the electrical conduits between the lithosphere, the crust of the planet, and then the ionosphere. And we're discovering...
Someone has a radio on. Who is it? Hello? Well, that was Bill.
What?
I didn't mean for him to hang up. I just meant for him to turn off his radio. That's all.
Well, he got that done, too.
No, I sound all echoey. Hey, they. All right, let's go to Rory in Watsonville and bring him in.
Hey. The sun has an effect.
Yes.
The sun is having an effect.
Yeah, we can, Rory, but hang on a sec. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, I was just going to say the sun does have an effect, and we're realizing that the electrical component of this weather is far, far greater than they've ever imagined or have modeled, and that is one of the things that allows the weathermen to produce poor forecast time after time, is that the electrical component of our weather is not completely understood. And just last year, they realized that thunderstorms can be inverted electrically. Well, this is what we've been trying to say, is that it is the electromagnetic forces that drive the weather and not heat and moisture. Those are a byproduct of the electrical processes of this planet.
Anybody still put?
Yeah, Dave, how are you even on? How are you even on?
I don't know. I'm supposed to be on.
Oh, no. Yeah, but the volume was all the way down. It's like the Twilight Zone here.
Maybe that's a problem.
Yeah.
You turned up.
Yeah, no, I turned you down because I was getting terrible echo. But go ahead. You're on now, and you sound okay.
All right, listen. 1977, 76, Zbigniew Brzezinski, President Carter's national security advisor, wrote a book called Between Two Worlds. In there, he boldly states about how we control the weather, and we will manipulate the weather and technology. We will control human population, food crops, by weather modification, viral bacterial warfare, electronic warfare, et cetera, et cetera. That's like 30 years ago. So,
is Zbigniew Brzezinski, no, he died a while back, didn't he?
Well, I think he's alive, actually.
I think he's still with us.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
30 years ago, he bolted.
Aaron, see if you can get him on the line. Try. Okay. You just do a Google search or something, you know. I don't even know how to spell Zbigniew Brzezinski.
Capital Z, B, N, E, W, B, R.
Google will fix it anyway.
Yeah, right. I can't get it in my brain. Anyway, so everybody knows him. He was that Russian-looking dude that was chief of national security advisor for President Carter.
Okay.
He's the guy that ran Afghanistan when the Russians invaded it. He said, we'll help you. We'll fight off these evil Russians. That's when the CIA groomed Bin Laden to be a freedom fighter. Yes, it works for the CIA, which he still does, by the way. That's a whole other show. But the whole weather thing's going on. Now, Scott, are you aware? I'm sure you're aware of the HARP project up in Alaska.
Oh, yeah.
Michael, they have these huge wire grids, and ARCO funnels all the natural gas to operate the generators. Mm-hmm. And they pump over 4 billion, would it be? 4 billion watts of electrical pulses up into the atmosphere.
Hmm.
In coordination with another similar, a twin site over in Russia. which is why they said those magnets there years ago.
And there's one in Scandinavia. There's one in South America. These ionospheric experiments are there are many of them, and they continue to pop up across the planet, and they deal with local ionization effects.
One in Australia, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. But see, it's that ionosphere.
All right.
You can...
Guys, we have poor Rory in Watsonville who's been waiting patiently,
right.
and I actually called for him and to get on the air here, but I put I put him back on hold. I'm going to bring him back on the air here now, and let's let him talk, okay? Hold on a sec. Okay, Rory, you're on.
Thank you. No, I find the conversation very interesting. I don't doubt that man and his quest for knowledge, and even depraved men in their quest for knowledge, want to try to control the weather. And but if they can make it snow in Santa Cruz in July, then I'll be a believer, or something to that effect. And the reason I say that is that we've had weather and weather extreme doesn't make the average for years. I've got pictures of my mom's house in San Marino, California. I think it was 1941, 42, and there's a foot of snow on the ground. And that's in Southern California, in front of their house.
That's so, fine.
What's that?
That's fine, because the weather the weather will naturally be freaky on its own.
Yeah.
But if you can control the weather, to coordinate and control when you want to make it freaky, that's a whole other thing.
I understand, Dave, and I see the contrails that expand and drift. I've seen them go crisscross before. I don't know if that's... Are those because the ones here typically run north south? Are those high altitude commercial jets that are at an atmospheric condition where the ice crystals form and spread or dissipate? I know atmospherics has some influence on that.
And
I've talked to aeronautical engineers about it, and they said it depends on your atmospherics.
It does
for that.
Yes.
And
go ahead.
You go ahead, Dave. You were going to comment on that.
They run the trails usually north to south, because that way as they spread, they drop down, they coast towards east, towards population. And within several days, everybody that's outside a lot comes down with respiratory problems, breathing problems, this endless flu, upper respiratory, where the doctors scratch their head and go, I don't know, here's some antibiotics, what can I say?
What I do is
I just try to bone up on the, you know, give my assistance, vitamins, etc. But when these contrail signs, I know people that have, like, cobweb stuff fall down out of the sky.
Yeah, I've seen that before. I'm not sure what to say. That is an unusual phenomenon. I'm not sure if that's web-forming spiders or what is, you know, that's another subject.
No, it's not spiders.
I hate to do this, gang, but it is a commercial radio station. We got some commercials to play, and we also have Edna and Carmel waiting. So, Aaron, let's play that break real quick. Go ahead, Rory.
Last comment. I remember drought years, so I welcome the rain. I know you guys want it to stop. I work with agriculture, and we want it to stop. But, boy, having full reservoirs and a lot of water in the ground is a good thing in California.
I'm with you, buddy.
You know, it is a good
thing.
So we should stop complaining.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay. Thank you, Rory. There goes Watsonville Rory. Edna, we'll come back to you right after this commercial break. You're listening to your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO.
Did you know that you could get a helicopter ride today right here on the Monterey Bay starting at $25 per person? Hi, my name is Chris with Specialized Helicopters. And yes, you can do that. Right now at the Watsonville Airport, we're offering helicopter tours where you and your family can come down for this area's most unique experience. We have tours ranging from fun flights to the Big Sur tour. Not to mention, we also offer helicopter flight training if you want to be a career helicopter pilot. Call us today at 763-2244 and be sure to ask about our training seminar coming up on April 12th. Again, that's Specialized Helicopters. Helicopters at the Watsonville Airport, 831-763-2244.
Be sure to listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on AM 1080 KSCO. Talkback radio for the Central Coast. Financial Survival is heard at 1 p.m. every Monday and Tuesday. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Hi, this is Don Fredrickson from GotNet. Skynet's been serving the Monterey Bay area since 1994 with high-quality, affordable internet service. At Skynet, we take pride in offering a higher level of personalized service. Our customer support technicians are knowledgeable and friendly. We're here 7 days a week to serve you, from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. during the week and noon to 5 on the weekends. Skynet is ready to answer questions, solve your problems, and get you on your way. Call Skynet today at 460-2000. Food, shelter, clothing, net. Skynet.
KSCO AM 1080, the station for intelligent people only. Stupid people must tune to another station immediately.
We've been criticized. Yeah, we've been criticized for discriminating against stupid people.
It's such an easy target.
Well, listen, we've spent 15 years building this fine specimen of a radio station. And I'm sorry, there's plenty of radio stations for stupid people, you know, but we don't want this one to be...
We call them networks.
Yeah, we call FM for morons.
Okay, yeah, but KSCO will not play that game. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, if there's anybody listening to KSCO right now who is stupid... You absolutely must change the channel. That's all there is to it. And if I find out that you haven't changed the channel, I will give you a 30-second grace period. But if I find out that after 10:52 and 30 seconds, if it gets back to me that you haven't changed the channel as you're supposed to, you will be disciplined by the authorities.
And your listening privilege will be revoked.
And I'm changing my name to John Smith after this show.
The listening privileges are revoked. I mean, they have always been revoked for stupid people. And I'm sorry. I mean, that's just the way it is. Edna and Carmel, thanks for waiting. You're on the KSCO Saturday Special.
Good morning.
Hi.
Regarding your topic that you're discussing, I have a paper that I've been subscribing for a long time, and they are the only ones I know of that have been keeping the people alert on this weather harnessing. And the issue I have is September 12, 2005, and the headline is Harnessing Weather, Allegations Surface That U.S. and Russia Have Technology to Manage Hurricanes. And two references in the article are... November 13, 1997, of the Wall Street Journal, and it says, those who doubt Katrina or any other hurricane could be stopped or created can find substantiation in a long-forgotten article by Chen, C-H-E-N, M-A-Y-Y-E-E, in three separate names, in the November 13 issue of the Wall Street Journal. And the other one is October 2nd, 92, in the Wall Street Journal, reported that the Russian company ELATE, E-L-A-T-E, Intelligent Technology Incorporated, has weather control equipment for sale and use of advertising slogan of weather made to order. And a man named Igor, E-G-O-R-P-I-R-O-G-O-F-F, director of the company, said ELATE is capable of fine-tuning weather patterns over a 200-square-mile area for as little as 200 U.S. payday, the newspaper reported. So I hope that adds to your topic there.
Edna, do you believe that?
Do I believe it?
Yeah.
Whether you do or not, it's written. This is the only paper that brings this to the people's knowledge.
But please do me a favor and just tell me if you believe it, or you're just bringing it up to add to the discussion.
I'm just bringing it up because you're discussing it.
Okay. And I'm not arguing with you or anything. I'm just and thank you for bringing it up. But I do want to know if you believe.
No, I was just reading it as an article, and because you're discussing it, and okay, because it is in a public print.
Gotcha. Okay. Hey,
you
want
to hear about Hurricane Andrew?
Yes.
Oh. A year before the article was written, Hurricane Andrew South caused $300 million in damage as it plowed through the South. Pirogov said Andrew could have been turned into a wimpy little squall. A quote and unquote.
Oh, my.
Yes.
But you see, a adversarial country No, they cannot come with missiles and bombers and military army men to attack America. Meanwhile, we are a capitalistic society. What do you do? Hit where it hurts in the pocketbook. Cause hundreds of billions and billions of dollars of damages, make the country go broke.
It is far easier to vibrate the ground underneath the city than it is to raise a standing army and go invade a country.
Thank you, Edna. Appreciate your call.
Thanks.
And Colonel Bearden talks about Katrina in his book and claims that scalar weapons were used to beef it up, to enhance it. And the hurricane on the radar made a sharp left turn and headed for New Orleans. So, you know, you have to take these with a grain of salt, but at least someone is talking about them.
You can see the geometry in Katrina, in Rita, in Wilma. There was man-made geometry within all of these storms, and there has been for nearly a generation.
Oh, my gosh.
And I believe it.
And so what we are, we have raised a whole generation of weathermen who don't know any different, who cannot see or do not see or have a reference for what is natural versus what is unnatural. And this is the challenge in waking people up, is that we have lived under this manipulated weather for so long that we don't know the difference. And Colonel Bearden refers to this period of time that we've entered as bleeding the dragon, where we'll just deal with cut after cut after cut. It's like the bull in the bullpen, where it's just getting speared by the matador.
We have June in Santa Cruz next up. June, you're on the KSCO Saturday Special with Scott and Richard and Dave and MZ.
Hi there. Hey, I first of all, thank you so much for the show. And I don't want to get off track of hearing good info, especially from Scott Stevens, who I really hold in high esteem.
Thank you.
But two things. One is, you might have been being facetious and joking around about the stupid people, but I'll tell you what, the stupid people do, you know, I don't like to talk about people that way, but stupid people, to quote you, do need to listen to the show. They need to listen so they can get educated and find out what the heck's going on. So,
look, it's our slogan. It's our slogan, you know.
Well, I'm sorry, but I just have to say that.
And there is a method to our madness here. I shouldn't share this with the audience.
You got me calling in. One other thing is...
obviously, you're not a stupid person.
Pardon me?
Obviously, you're not a stupid person.
Well, thank you. But, you know, people need to get educated, and I appreciate your show.
People who do not appreciate KSCO are stupid, and they don't belong listening.
Well, we want everyone to get educated. But anyway, one quick way another people can get educated is I noticed I just picked up the New Connection magazine, and they have a neat theme in their theme on weather. It's called Weather or Not. So I think that's worth checking out.
Connection magazine, ladies and gentlemen, it's free everywhere, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, good.
It's a freebie. Thank you. Thanks for your time.
Okay, there goes June in Santa Cruz. Gee, we only have 2 minutes. Well, we can take the call, the ringing call. Hello?
Yes, people look south over Watsonville right now. They'll see a couple of stripes across the sky as I speak.
And who are you?
I'm Gary. I'm on Port Toll. I just turned off of 41st, and to my left, looking towards the ocean, you got about 6 stripes over the sky there.
Okay. All right. I believe it. And what do you think is responsible for that, and what do you think is going on as we speak?
Not sure. It certainly is deliberate. In fact, my son, he was going to call in, and we saw a sky fill out with these streaks before it over here on Lakeview Drive, not far from your station. And later in the day, he was able to bag some of that stuff that you'll see on some of the websites who put it in the baggie. And but it's kind of spider-webby stuff. It's something deliberately being done. I don't know whether it's... or communications, weather modification,
spider
or
webby
what.
Stuff. Jeez.
Yeah, we've found those also.
Yeah. Okay.
What they're doing is flying these trails across the jet stream. You've got an inbound low pressure system, and they want to know how this technology is deforming the shape of the low. And this is why the constant spraying. It's just to see how the particular metals disperse in reaction to moisture and ionization. It's deliberate, it's intentional, but for these engineers, it's very necessary.
Scott and Richard, we're going to have to take a break for the top of the hour news right here on KSCO Santa Cruz. We will be back in 6 minutes, so stay with us.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lisa Carton. Wicked weather rips through the South.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay Zwirling.
While sitting in a doctor's waiting room recently, I reached for a magazine, and four large words on the outside back cover jumped out at me. They were, "Live happily ever now." I thought, wow, most of us, those deep and wise and those otherwise, tend to go through our allotted years thinking of the time when we can live happily ever after. Like, if I get a better job, or if I get to own a house, or a nice car, or if I get to travel a lot, or maybe get a windfall of money, then I'll be happy. Not wise. After all we've each got is now. And now is all we will ever have. So, let's try to live happily ever now. About illegal immigration, provoking thought number three, a big, tall wall between the United States and Mexico must be built yesterday. Many Mexicans have had the blessing of their scoundrel leader, Vicente Fox, who encourages them to sneak into the United States and with whom our president is playing footsie, probably because of Mexican oil. Why did we sit still so many years while Fox emptied his jails of the deadliest killers in Mexico and dumped them on us? Why was this allowed? And again, it will take the wisdom of a King Saul, or is it Solomon, to deal with 11 million illegals living here. The Democrats want to give amnesty to everybody. And just think of the extra votes for them, and how unfair for those who patiently waited years to come in legally. We should have learned after President Reagan ordered amnesty years ago, the illegal problem got much worse. Besides, if we don't respect and enforce our own laws, why then should anyone or any other nation respect us and our laws? Final provoking thought. This is about Jewish humor and Jewish inebriation. That means getting drunk. Around the Middle Ages, Jews made sure to always remain sober and aware because they were the hated scapegoats for being moneylenders, like bankers today. And especially they were considered pariahs for rejecting Jesus as being divine and as being the Messiah. The Old Testament states that when the Messiah finally arrives, the world and everyone will be good and peace will prevail. I still believe that Jesus was a special, extraordinary human because he knew that love was the answer. Jews have suffered all sorts of indignities, and they learned early on that education was the most important because knowledge is power. And secondly, the hate they endured allowed them to survive because of another most important ingredient in life, and that is humor. If one can enjoy humor, one can survive almost anything. The topic of humor is an excellent segue into a joke I'm going to tell you now. A rabbi and a priest in the same town were friends. They met once a week to go bicycling together. One day, while the priest was waiting in their usual place, the rabbi came, but without his bicycle. He told his friend, the priest, that it wasn't where he usually put it, so it was probably stolen. The priest paused a moment and then said to the rabbi, "I have an idea. This coming Friday night, when you deliver your sermon, why don't you make your subject the Ten Commandments? And when you get to the part where it says, 'Thou shalt not steal,' perhaps the thief will be listening and remorseful and return your bike. So, the following week, while the priest waited for his buddy, the rabbi came toward him on his bike. Elated, the priest said, "See, I told you that when you read the commandment that said thou shalt not steal, it would work and you'd get your bicycle back, and you did." And the rabbi replied, "Well, it wasn't exactly that way. I did give my sermon, but when I came to the part that says, thou shalt not commit adultery, I remembered where I left my bike." For KSCO and KOMY, this is Case Whirlin.
It's now 5.5 minutes past 11 a.m., and you're listening to KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Aaron Bond with your Central Coast weather forecast for today. And it calls for mostly cloudy skies, south winds to 8 miles per hour, highs today around 65. Today on the bay, winds south to 5 knots, becoming southwest 5 to 10 knots in the afternoon time. Wind waves 1 foot, swell west 4 to 8 feet every 11 seconds. And we now
735 Soquel Drive in Aptos. Now listen, remember this phone number, 688-1130. You can call, but better yet, go there. They got the best, you know, selection of eyeball glasses that you'll ever see. And they have sort of a fun little, slogan here that says, it's silly to pay through the nose. So we want to welcome, Specs Appeal as a new sponsor to a KSCO and hour number two of this KSCO Saturday special, Specs Appeal Optical. They'll help you see what's really going on. Okay, time to start hour number two.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back.
I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying myself doing this Saturday special because I'm, you know, we don't talk about the weather very often, and I'm learning a lot today. How about you?
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
And one of these days with technology, we'll have more than just a webcam looking at us here in the studio, so that I could show you the faxes that Serial Faxer sends in. This is a really good one. It's like a four-engine jet with a tail that has a great big dollar sign on it, and the fuselage says George Bush Global Spraying and Terrorist Attack Company. Okay, it's flying through the sky, depositing a bunch of trails behind it. And the balloon says, "Laura, I'm going to be home late, honey. I've got to fly out to Santa Cruz and make it rain. Then I've got to put out the chemtrails, then the spores that cause AIDS, plus the spray chemicals to wipe out minorities, not to mention the continuing cover-up of our 9/11 fake attacks. It's going to be a late one, baby." Thank you, Serial. Very good cartoon. Haven't seen one for a while, so it's a delight to see. Now, I hope I didn't offend either one of you guys, our guests here on the Saturday special. We're just sort of having some good-natured fun. Is that cool, Scott Stevens and Richard Dunn?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
It's fun to see and to be able to talk about this on the air.
Yeah, and Serial Faxer is brilliant. I mean, he's got some sort of a thing going between Cyril, our Russian talk host, now. I mean, talk about a clash of egos, which I don't know what's going on here, but it ain't pretty. It ain't pretty, but he still sends in wonderful, wonderful faxes. So,
I think as bad as things get, we have to keep our sense of humor. It'll keep us sane.
That's exactly right. We're talking about the weather, and is it possible that the weather can be controlled? And if so, by whom and for what purpose? That's our topic on the Saturday special today. If you want to call and weigh in on that topic, we would love to hear from you. It's 479-1080 or 477-1340. Either one of those numbers will connect you to your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. If you're listening right now, it's live, and you can participate. You might be listening to this in 2050,
you know, on an archive on the internet somewhere. It might not be called the internet at that time, but if you are listening then, don't try to call, because most of us are probably dead anyhow by then. So let's go back to the phone. And by the way, happy birthday, Mother, Mom Kay. You know, for those of you who are tuning in, you must all know that today is the 5th anniversary of my mother's birth. Yeah.
Yes, happy birthday, Joe.
Yeah, and so, and her editorial, her commentaries and editorials get stronger and more hard-hitting with every one she does. And so we hope that there's, you know, at least 100 more years of them here. Tom in Scotts Valley, you're on the KSCO Saturday special with MZ, Scott, Richard, and Dave Allen. Hi, Dave. I mean, hi, Tom.
Hello, Michael.
And Dave.
Happy birthday, Kay.
Yes.
I want to give special thanks to Scott and Richard for hanging in there, and a special thanks for the Nighthawk for bringing this to our attention a long time ago.
Okay. Is Dave still allowed to call you the Nighthawk or not?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, good.
Well, I listen to him at night.
Yeah. And maybe you'll listen to him again at night. I mean, he does this great program Sundays at 4. But real, a lot of people have been requesting that we move him up, you know, sooner, earlier in the day on Sunday, maybe, I don't know, maybe 11 o'clock on Saturday or something like that. Is that right? I mean, I've gotten a lot of requests for that, but we also have a very popular host there, Cyril, with his Embassy of the New World. So, I don't know. We'll figure out.
Get rid of him. Let's put Dave.
Really?
Well, yeah.
I don't remember if you remember or not, but about 3 weeks ago when you had open mic, I called in and talked about the weather modification bill that's going through the House and the Senate.
You're that Tom.
Yes,
you're the
I'm
one that
Tom.
Started this, Tom.
Yes.
Thank you,
Tom.
And I say thank you particularly, Tom, because KSCO profited from this.
Sure.
Thanks to you giving Richard Dunn the idea to buy his way into the Saturday special.
Well, Richard, it's money well spent.
Yeah.
Noah has 47.
Now listen, seriously, I gotta. We probably would have done a program like this anyhow, but I really have to thank Richard, because he said to me on the conversation, I want to put my money where my mouth is, and he says, well, I said, what do you mean by that? I said, well, I want to sponsor the show. So this is great. I wish there were more people like Richard who would step up to the plate.
That's great to get
maybe
all this information out so that people can assimilate it into their thinking.
Yeah, so let everybody know far and wide, the Saturday special does have a price, and you can buy your way into it if you want to. So if there's something that you want to get on the Saturday special, you know, the best way to do it is, you know, money talks, right, Richard?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Well, what the caller is saying is right. This whole mentality that man has and has had the ability to manipulate and outright control the weather takes a long time to percolate into your consciousness.
And Tom, you start to mention Noah has 47.
There's 47 projects now going on, and one of them is the modification of the snowpack in Wyoming that's mm-hmm. caused the droughts in Oklahoma and Texas. That's one of them. And then there's two websites I think that are really important for the listeners to know. One of them is Will Thomas, WILThomas.net. He has been studying and speaking all over the country about chemtrails now, I think, for 6 or 7 years.
About 10.
And then there's SkyHighways.com. And that was formerly the Chemtrails 911 website. Both of those give very good insights, details, pictures, maps, graphs. So that would be very good to study. You know, when I called in 3 weeks ago, I didn't even want to mention chemtrails because I don't want to be a kook. But if you look around, look what's happened to our weather. It's being modified. It's being changed.
And you ain't no kook. You may be other things, but a kook you ain't.
I may be other things.
Yeah.
And they're so common. It doesn't matter whether you're in Europe, whether you're in the Middle East, whether you're across the entirety of the North American continent. And literally today, you could see these from the tip of Baja, from Mexico, out across the Gulf of Mexico, littered up the East Coast, and then replete along the West Coast, extending to south of Alaska. This program is immense.
because they have an entire globe worth of weather to understand.
Okay. And how many people on with us, excuse me, how many people on with us right now are pilots besides Richard and me, actually, because I'm a pilot, though I haven't used my private pilot's license for many years. Anybody besides Richard and me?
No, I'm not.
Okay,
I'm not.
So I'll ask Richard. What do you know, Richard, if you wanted to, you know, get, you know, rent a private plane at the FBO at Monterey Airport, could you shoot a chemtrail out? Or do you have to be a big jet or something, you know,
no,
with the propulsion?
No, I don't believe so.
You don't want to get risked by the
government. A big supercharged engine.
Well, and you
no, I don't think you can. You have to be up around 33,000
yeah.
feet.
Some of the tankers are pictured on some of the websites, and they have to be above 25,000 to 30,000 yeah. feet to do it.
Michael, I emailed you a direct link that says pictures I followed with asterisks.
Okay. Asterisks, yeah. Okay, I got you. I can't say it either.
If you go there quick, it's part of Scott's site where it directly shows pictures through binoculars and telescopes of these planes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't know if you went there yet or not.
Oh, no, I haven't. I haven't seen it yet, but I'll try to look after the radio program. Okay, it's the Saturday special talking about weather phenomena. With special guest Scott Stevens, a meteorologist from Idaho, a concerned citizen Richard Dunn, the former Nighthawk, Dave Allen, MZ and you, the phone callers. We have lines open, maybe one line open at 477-1340, maybe two lines, actually. Let's see. I guess we're done with Tom in Scotts Valley. Thank you, Tom, and thank you particularly for spurring this whole thing. I didn't realize that until this call. That opens up a line at 479-1080. Here comes Marv in Pacific Grove. Is this the Marv from Pacific Grove?
It's an A Marv, anyway.
Oh, okay.
Listen,
welcome.
In Harper's Magazine.
Okay.
In January 2006, there's an excellent, background article, and it's called Owning the Weather, The Ugly Politics of the Pathetic Fallacy.
Ugly Politics of the Pathetic... Well, what's the pathetic fallacy?
I don't understand why that's in there, because he gives some really good background on it, and he doesn't get into chemtrails or HARP, but he gets into Reich and a scientist that's the father of the information age. And a number of reports dating back to 1991, it's got a mention of a report called Policy Implications of Greenhouse Warming. And one from 57, the year the Soviets launched Sputnik. Newsweek featured an article titled The Weather Weapon, New Race with the Reds. So, and it, I mean, it goes on and on. So it's really an excellent, if you want to get any kind of background on it.
Okay. And is it available on the web?
Yeah, you can go on the web. I printed it out on the web. I have the magazine itself, but I went and printed a couple copies to give away.
Okay.
Yeah.
And give the web address again?
Yeah, it's just harpers.com.
Okay, that's easy. Great. Marv, thank you for calling the Saturday special. We appreciate that. Terry in Capitola, what are you doing on the secret line that only Dave Allen is supposed to know? Are you a friend of Dave's, and did he spill the beans?
I didn't come in on the secret line. I don't think I think he called in 477, but...
Oh, you did?
But by the way, I still owe you lunch. I'll get you an email off on
it. It's that, Terry. Okay. Yeah, I was wondering. You know, ever since we built you up on the radio, you disappeared.
Well, here's the thing: is that the weather's been so horrible that it caused me to go skiing in Colorado.
Well, wait a minute. Now let's see. Can we have the lunch there?
By the way, it was. I'll tell you, I have a great place for lunch there.
Oh well, let's go.
All
you,
right.
Will you pay the airfare too?
Yeah, pretty much.
For me too?
Yeah, more or less, maybe.
God, that's great. So for those of you who weren't listening a few weeks ago, Terry made me a bet that I had long since forgotten about 5 or 6 weeks into the new Air America format on KOMY, that it wouldn't last in six months. Either the company would go belly up or the network would go belly up or we would pull the plug. And neither of those things happened. And so, he sent me an email saying, I pay my debts and I owe you this lunch here. Because I had made the bet and I just sort of forgotten about it.
Well, this next week might look good, so I'll give you an email and we'll figure it out.
This will be good because, listen, Terry, I'm getting really hungry.
Yeah, I know, as am I.
Yeah. Okay, so you called.
got it.
Now you forgot what you called.
No, I quite remember. So let me ask these guys a couple quick questions.
Go.
So is Bush behind some of this? Is he involved in this at all?
He's a pawn.
Yeah, but I mean, does he have any role to play in this at all? Does he know of this?
I'm sure he knows of it. I mean, he spent Hurricane Rita up at Northcom at Cheyenne Mountain.
And so the Katrina, I assume that was a consequence of this program. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you a question. Did Bush's power increase or decrease as a consequence of Katrina?
I think it decreased. I think he played a political card that he shouldn't have played with that particular disaster.
I'm asking that question. If these guys are doing this to increase their power, how come their power is decreasing? And how does that mechanism work if they increase their power?
I don't think they are pulling the trigger. It's at a level.
Who are they? By the way, who are these?
It's my opinion that we're dealing with the global elite.
And who are they? Who are the them that we hear so much? Is it like the Men in Black kind of a thing? Is it like a
more
the banks?
Hold on here.
Now you're pissing Dave off. Okay, go ahead.
I'm just wondering who's the they.
Go get him, Dave.
That's
go get Terry.
Somebody come on a show, have respect for the guests, or go to H. Now, get on your computer, look up the last 20 years of research. You got a quick, easy answer to something that's way bigger than all of us in 1 second? It was just kind of sophistry attitude. We come on, hit somebody down, you're an asshole, you're an idiot.
No, he's not calling you that. He's saying that's what you're basically saying to our guests.
Well, then number two, look at the sky right now. Are you an asset that you can't see the sky?
Terry, can you see the sky?
Yeah, let me look at my window.
I just get really impatient with people. What a challenge reality.
You know,
he's asked Dave, calm down. All Terry wants, I was thinking of vacating and letting Terry host the rest of the program here because he's asking the kinds of questions I should be asking.
Who are they? Go look it up. What's my job to educate you now?
No, tell me. I don't want to look it up.
Is that our job to bring people like you up to speed in 1 minute? otherwise, we're nuts.
This is something we all have an interest in. This is something I want to know names as well. I don't know names, but I do know that those that are pulling off this program are capable of getting unfettered access to many, the skies of many, many, many nations.
Well, I'll just make the brief comment, then I'll get off the air here, is that you know, you hear these conspiracy theories from time to time.
Calm down, Dave.
I'm looking outside right now. I see trails go by. That's a conspiracy theory. That's only a theory. My eyes are a theory.
I don't doubt that there's contrails. We've all seen contrails. But the connection between contrails and the weather, that's a secondary thing.
It's not a contrail.
I don't want to occupy
condensation evaporates. These don't evaporate. Is that a theory?
My experience in life is that conspiracies are inversely proportional. So the time that they last is inversely proportional to the number of people involved, to the time over which it goes. Mm-hmm. As conspiracies get larger and larger, involve more and more people, sooner or later somebody leaks. Mm-hmm. Sooner or later somebody comes forward and says, yes, it's me that put these contrails up and we're dumping this chemical in or something mm-hmm. like that. And just as an example, consider the NSA wiretapping thing. A relatively small conspiracy. And within about a year or two of it being enacted, somebody's blabbing, talking to the New York Times.
But see, we have had Navy scientists come out and talk about the participation within developing the chemicals going into the chemicals. We have had pilots come up and say, yes, I was participating in this. We have had the electrical engineers who come forward and say, we used these patents to apply this technology to weather modification.
I don't doubt for a second that the government, as it probably should, has been trying to figure out ways to, as you know, the old joke goes, everybody talks about the weather, nobody's doing anything about it.
Exactly.
And so these people are trying to do something about it, and it could have great benefit to mankind. If we could have consistent rainfall, neither too much nor too little, you know, crops would bloom, reservoirs would be full, we could take showers when we want to and water our lawns when we want to. So there could be
and
great
then
benefits
what?
To
and then like, we have lots of bounties of food that everybody reproduces, like roaches, and then the Earth becomes overpopulated. Their planet becomes overpopulated. Well, all we are ants on their picnic table. They don't want us around.
Well, now you're starting on like Population Pat. But
Population Pat is history.
Yes. Okay.
I have not heard him on the radio for a long time. I heard a rumor that he got irritated with us and refuses to call again.
I don't want to devolve into a whole big discussion. All I'm basically saying is that whenever you hear these talks of conspiracy,
I always wonder, how is it...
Buzzword, Terry. You're using buzzwords.
That's right.
Get a life. Word. Wake up.
This is a conspiracy. You say it's a conspiracy.
It's not a
Maybe
conspiracy.
It's the
it's
Blues
an
Brothers, the Men in Black.
It is a conspiracy. It absolutely
there is, a
is
difference.
A conspiracy.
There is a difference between conspiracy and agenda.
But it's not a theory. It's a fact.
And people do, in fact, conspire. I grant that. People sometimes
conspire.
You know,
I was wondering when the disinformation people were going to call
people
in.
Sometimes conspire, but as the conspiracy gets larger and larger and goes over a longer and longer duration of time, they always come unglued.
Okay. This one will. This one will. You always have to have
but
somebody come along.
But you say this has been going on for 20 or 30 years.
It's becoming unglued right now. That's what we're talking about.
Right.
It's becoming unglued.
What you're doing.
I think what Terry meant by that is that you were coming unglued, Dave, just because he doesn't necessarily believe what you believe.
I'm sick and tired of Walmart shoppers that laugh at me while they sit there blowing themselves up on crap. Evening news, hourly FM radio, everything that puts your head in the sand.
But that's not
if you say something that spoils your coverage zone, we're conspiracy.
This is serious.
Oh, kook. Conspiracy is conspiracy. An agenda is an agenda. Look outside.
Right.
Is that conspiracy? That's an agenda.
Michael?
Dave, Michael?
Outside,
what?
We'll talk about Silver Lens. I got to go.
Okay, there goes Terry. Thank you for calling and waking things up here on the radio show.
It sounds like he's using the Delphi technique. You know, men in black. You know, get a life, Terry, will you?
Well, I
can't answer for Terry. This is MZ. By the way, it's 11:26 on hour number two of the KSCO Saturday special. We haven't even mentioned global warming, because maybe global warming, just plain old global warming, is the reason for it.
That's still the ball of crap. Look, we have over 2,000 under ocean volcanoes going off. Yes, the water temperature might go up a couple degrees when you have 2,000 volcanoes in the ocean, not because we a Big Mac, or because they drive a car, or because cows graze flash weight. These people are nuts. No, those people think we're nuts. You look outside, I see chemtrails. Now, global warming is a theory of, like, well, the ozone, well, you know, all the cows, well, they become vegan, like PETA, and wants us to do, so-called Nazi groups. Well, we drive cars. We all get to start riding a rickshaw, ride a bicycle over in China. Yeah, right.
I want to hear from Inca in Santa Cruz.
Oh?
Inca.
Hello?
Hi, Inca. Are you...
Hi, my name is Inca, and I'm from Santa Cruz. I'm one of the webmasters that help with the chemtrails911.com website. And I want to thank you folks for having the show on and taking my call.
It's a pleasure.
I wanted to kind of maybe address a couple of issues that while I was on hold, I was listening to the other caller. And I always love these coincidence theorists. You know, they don't really want to read anything for themselves. They just want to put you on the spot and demand
they want to force you to explain 30 years of information when a bit around your duds.
But actually, I will address some of his questions. In the policy implications of greenhouse adaptation mitigation in the science base, and I will name some names on who are conducting these studies. I will point the finger at, the National Academy of Science, the National Academy of Medicine. Let's talk about Yale University or even our Moss Landing University or UCSC.
Yale? Skull and Bones Yale?
Oh, no.
Oh, wow. What a coincidence.
You know, they're totally wholesome people. But there is, like you said earlier, there is 47 projects that we could probably track down and many more that we can't. And the funny thing about this issue is that it overlaps into some other issues. Not only weather modification, we're talking, you know, areas of warfare, which we can see in government documents on weather warfare, owning the weather in 2025, which is on chemtrails911.com. So the previous caller, if he actually wanted to learn about it, he could actually go there and read the Air Force document that talks about how they can manipulate the weather for war. It also falls into another category on transportation and energy and conservation, as we've seen with Senate Bill 517. It wasn't brought up in any other division, but it was brought up in the energy division. So it's not just clear-cut, and this is how they get fundings for a lot of these projects. It has dual purpose, dual use, and it covers a large area. So I can point the finger, and there are documentation that's out there that we can point the finger at who is doing this. And I'd also like to address another question of the previous caller. Does Bush know about this? Yes, he does. In 2005, he allocated $13 million for weather modification, and the document is on chemtrails911.com if he cared to bother and research about it. So there are answers.
Oh, no, that's just a conspiracy theory, you see.
Yeah.
Well, I sure am happy you called, Inka. That's great.
Well, thanks. Keep up the good work. And
you're very kind.
And there is documentation out there. You know, Scott has an enormous amount, and I really
respect it.
Yeah,
Inka, I want you to email me. Dave@KSAO.com.
You know, this program is so in your face that when people realize that it's been there, it's been above our heads for so long, they're going to be disappointed in themselves for not seeing it sooner, disappointed in their government for not acting to stop it or at least to discuss it with us. I mean, is it truly okay for each one of these planes to take up a minimum of a 10,000-pound payload of these metals? And in the case of the 767s and 747s, we're talking 200,000 to 500,000 pounds worth of this product and to scatter it into the skies. When was that okay? When did we allow that poisoning, that systematic poisoning of this singularly beautiful planet to be...
They have been experimenting on the population of American citizens way back since the 50s.
We know this, Dave, but
that's right. But no, certain people know it's
they're killing the planet by enshrining it in this matter.
That's only conspiracy theory. The facts, the business,
but the actions are fact.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to share a recent a tour of the 747. Super tanker that's making its tour around the country, and it is another incident where it is a dual purpose tanker. They can use this tanker to suppress forest fires, to do toxic cleanup, but also they brag about it, about using it for weather modification purposes. It brags about having these huge storage compartments to alter the weather, to douse fires in its large carrying capacity. And so, again, I think you might call this another conspiracy theory, but, you know, it is a multi-billion dollar aircraft that is soon going to be on the market. And, again, it is there by the actual company, Evergreen, the company who made it, and it is an actual website, and the words weather modification are associated with this plane. But, you know, what I can kind of understand is that when people talk about this type of issue, and they look up this documentation and this research, they're not going to see the word chemtrail. They're never going to see that. Like, I'm looking in the book on policy implications of global warming right now, and they don't call it that. They call it low stratospheric soot. They call it stratospheric dust. They call it aerosol injections. They call it forcing. You know, there's a whole different vocabulary. Like, you go into any different
area. Oh, yeah, they always have terminology. It's like intergenerational sex. Instead of calling it pedophilia. Same kind of thing. That's how wicked it is. There you go. I'm serious, man. Am I right or what? Sorry.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. Well, gee, Inka, thanks for your contribution to the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSEO. What a great radio voice. You ought to be a radio host, I think. Okay.
I would sign her up, Michael.
Yeah, you are listening to not just a Saturday special, but the Saturday special on strange weather phenomena. And
hey, Michael.
Yeah, Dave.
Want me to inject even more strange?
Yeah.
Let's go to the next level. Strange is 767s, 737s that have flown like drones, remotely piloted.
Well, you could probably, technology is there, I'm sure.
I watch Science Channel. They are showing how they're adding certain chemicals to aviation fuel. That way, when a plane lands or crashes, emergency, all the people will burn up like Buddhist monks with crispy critters. So what do you do? Down here, right down here in Mojave.
Dave, I think we're going to get complaints on that one.
Too bad. I'll kill my big brown eye on that one. Hey, right over here down in the Mojave Desert, what the hell is that big Air Force base where the shuttle lands?
Edward.
Thank you. All right, now, they have been experimenting with this fuel. They shows old retired 757s, 747s, 707s, remotely piled and full of fuel, landing crashing through barriers on purpose to try to experiment with this new kind of fuel additive. Now, if they can fly a plane on a test range to crash it on purpose, full of fuel, to watch how it blows up, how chemical, anti-fire chemical works, they can use the same modern technology with computers to fly brand-new planes wherever they want to. I have pictures of those 767s making right-hand, 90-degree right-hand turns, right, flying around doing weird stuff.
It's from my viewing of the planes through the time-lapse imagery and the many photographs that I've had sent to me, there's almost no question in my mind that most of them are remote flown. And
perfect.
There's just no point at the board to do this. It's monotonous back-and-forth work looking for clouds, looking at
It looks like a computer-guided program is so perfect.
Well, exactly. There's so many planes, and that's one less payroll.
We do have a commercial break, right? Aaron, why don't we take that commercial break? Then we'll come back with Jeannie in Aptos and Theodora in Santa Cruz. And, of course, more with Dave and more with Scott Stevens and more with Richard Dunn, even more with MZ. But stay with us. It's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. We'll be back in a few here.
Be sure to listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on AM 1080 KSCO. Talk back radio for the Central Coast. Financial Survival is heard at 1 p.m. every Monday and Tuesday. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Did you know that you could get a helicopter ride today right here on the Monterey Bay starting at $25 per person? Hi, my name is Chris with Specialized Helicopters. And yes, you can do that. Right now at the Watsonville Airport, we're offering helicopter tours where you and your family can come down for this area's most unique experience. We have tours ranging from fun flights to the Big Sur tour. Not to mention, we also offer helicopter flight training if you want to be a career helicopter pilot. Call us today at 763-2244 and be sure to ask about our training seminar coming up on April 12th. Again, that's Specialized Helicopters. Helicopters at the Watsonville Airport, 831-763-2244.
Here I am again. This is Sophie Winnick, and I want to share something that I've recently learned that makes a lot of sense. If you have chronic heartburn and you're having trouble with your digestion, you may not need an acid blocker. You may need more stomach acid. Here's why. Stomach acid keeps the stomach sterile. When you don't have enough acid in your stomach, yeast and bacteria can grow to unhealthy levels. This process causes gases to rise, and those bubbles of gas carry stomach acid up the esophagus, causing, you guessed it, heartburn. Kind of makes you think when you see commercials everywhere for acid blockers and people don't seem to be getting better. Well, if you're ready to actually do what makes sense, I recommend American Longevity's Ultimate Enzyme product. It's formulated to help you digest and absorb nutrients, as well as keeping your stomach acid where it belongs. It may even help you with allergies, and it definitely helps your body detoxify. Try it. It will help you feel better. If you want to find out more, call me, Sophie Winnick, at 335-3216. Talk to you soon.
It must be. It has to be. With that big sound, it's gotta be KSCO.
I think it's great to hear Sophie Winnick here on the KSCO Saturday special. She's a really, really nice person, and she knows a lot about nutrition because she's been doing it a long time. And when she invites you to call her at 335-3216, she means it. Welcome
on
back.
On your knees and obey her immediately.
Yeah. So it's 11:38. We only have 18. Was that right? 11:38? No. We have 22 minutes left in the KSCO Saturday special. See, you could tell I'm the product of public schools here, huh? So, and if you want to call us, it's 479-1080 or 477-1340. I haven't given out the email address because I don't have the email up. Maybe I can get it up here. Get the email up. Remainder of the program here, but I'm not going to promise it. So if you want to send us a fax like Serial Faxer did, the fax number is 475-2967. If you're faxing from Mozambique, you're going to have to dial the country code of 00.
Nigeria.
Is it 001 is the USA country code?
And then, and then 831 is the area code within the country. Because you never know where people are listening to.
No faxes from Nigeria.
The only thing we know...
I'm not going to open a bank account.
The only thing we know for sure is that regardless of where people are listening to KSCO from, it is their favorite radio station. That we know for sure. Okay, so 479-1080 or 477-1340 in area 831 will connect you to the program here live in the home stretch. Jeannie from Aptos has been waiting for quite a while, as has Theodora. So let's bring up Jeannie and welcome her. Hey, Jeannie, you're on.
Hi, MZ. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very
good.
Wow.
And El Salvador, Jeannie.
Yeah, we're down there quite a lot. And believe it or not, they do have chemtrails. They spray it just over the city, not in the rural area. So it's done all over the world. But I wanted to say happy birthday to your mom. She's such a special lady, and I really, really love that lady.
Well, I will drink to that.
Okay. It's interesting how people come on and the disinformation people say conspiracy, and I think Terry said conspiracy about four or five times, so he can be wiped off the slate there. I know a guy from NASA. He has classified clearance, and I was talking to him one day, and he has to be very careful of what he says. And I said, now people are getting sick regarding the chemtrails that's being sprayed over the country. And he said, this is how he phrased it, we're putting a lot of dope, D-O-P-E, in the air. And I said, well, people are getting sick. And he says, well, we're doing our best. MacArthur, General MacArthur in 1945, he actually said that the government could control the weather. And I went in front of the Board of Supervisors about 2 months ago.
Which board? Santa Cruz?
Yeah, okay. Right. And, of course, the five supervisors were up there. And I did voice my concern about the chemtrails, which were heavy over the government building that day.
Did they roll their eyes when you said that?
Actually, my supervisor, Ellen Peary, and I want to put that name out, Ellen Peary, she should be recalled. She literally laughed at me. And I said, do you think this is a laughing matter? And she said, and she laughed again, and she just said, go on. I have a question for the guys, and I really appreciate them being on.
What an arrogant bitch.
Well, hey, you know what?
You said it, MC. She certainly is.
She's
either ignorant or stupid.
Or somebody's back pocket.
Or she's working for this government that wants to bring everybody together in one
Well,
world.
Who knows what it is, but she's an arrogant bitch.
It's what it is.
A lot of people think that, too.
Jeannie, imagine telling your maid, sweet devil, you work for me.
Well, right.
Right? But, laughing at you like you're this little pawn, little pecker, whatever.
Right, but they're up on the pedestal, and I feel like bringing a chair and standing on the chair and saying, okay, I'm equal with you. Now talk to me honestly.
You're on a much higher chair now, Jeannie. So.
Okay. I have a question for the guys. When it's real heavy, I'm one of those sensitive individuals, I can taste metallic salt on my tongue.
Yep.
And I wanted to ask you, what metals are they putting in the sprays?
Aluminum and barium.
Yeah.
Those are the primary ones. And potassium, bananas, potatoes, those kind of whole foods appear to be the best at chelating out those metals. So if you eat healthy, wash your vegetables, and eat those whole foods and keep a positive attitude, that's honestly about all you can do.
Yep.
Yep.
So just eat well and do not let it turn you into a victim, because then they will have gotten inside you, and
right.
That's more devastating than the metals that they're putting in the sky.
Now, Inca mentioned this Evergreen 747 dual tanker, and of course you know probably, Dave, that Evergreen is a CIA business.
Thank you. Bingo. I was hoping you were going to say that.
Yep. And also, who's behind it is going to the international conferences. It's the elitists, and one of them is Ted Turner. And he has been documented and said that he wants to bring the population of the world down to 350 million.
Yep. Which is the U.S. and Canada spread over the whole planet.
Yeah. Yep. So I appreciate your show, MZ.
Well, thank you, and thank Richard, because it was his idea.
Thank you, Richard.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Jeannie. I enjoyed listening to you over the years.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Hey, up next is Theodora, but not until I give the phone numbers, 479-1080 or 477-1340. It's MZ and Scott Stevens and Dave Allen and Richard Dunn talking about weather on the KSCO Saturday special. It's about time we did this.
My name's John Smith, Michael.
Oh. Okay, good. Sorry. Okay, so give us a call if you want to and you have something to contribute. Here's a fax from George in LaSalle that says, MZ, good show. Would we be in a drought without chemtrails? Who wants to answer that real quick?
The chemtrails are irrelevant.
Yeah.
They're absolutely irrelevant. They're only a symptom that the manipulation is going on. The manipulation is happening in the electromagnetic and microwave frequencies. It's not happening with the trails. The trails are simply a byproduct of them trying to get the manipulation right. And so we're dealing with a fallout from that. And that's just when you're in a state of war, there are always going to be casualties. And
it's like the
health is a side effect.
Scott, are those scalar
weapons? Look, I don't claim to be particularly intelligent, but that's where I disconnect with what you just said, Scott.
Though the trails are like the conduit.
They're creating the atmosphere, the plasma, so these waves can propagate and then accentuate the weather patterns in place.
Are they considered scalar weapons?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I got it.
And the trails, I've got some great time-lapse stuff on my site. If you want to go, you have to have quick time.
Give it again.
Weatherwars.info.
Okay.
But you have to have QuickTime installed to view the movie.
Oh, my God. That takes over your computer.
And
they make you buy something in order to make it fully functional. I hate that.
It's an iTunes thing.
Yeah.
You know? That I agree. That is an issue. And when I decided
Not
to
cool.
go with QuickTime, they weren't doing that. But darn Apple.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I'll even go so far as to say damn Apple.
Well, I didn't want to get you any FCC fines.
Bleep the fines. Okay, here comes we did have Richard N. Watsonville. What happened to him? I was going to put him up a long time ago, and I just remembered now that he's not there. Richard, call back on 477-1340, but we've been promising to go to Theodora for a long time, so let's keep our promise. Hi, Theodora.
Hi, can you hear me?
We sure can.
Oh, good. I can hear you real good.
Good.
And thank you, all of you who made this program possible. I had two comments. One, in terms of your friend Terry, and I don't like to label people like that as disinformation. I think what I found in doing the various work I've done in the community for years on fluoridation and even drug war-related stuff is I found that people who have a privilege in their positions, that they, you know, they've got good jobs, they've got money, they like to feel like they're in control of things, and these issues really point up that they're not.
Mm,
and it's very hard for them to digest it, because what can we do about this? And that's my second comment, to encourage people. You had an earlier caller mention the Connection magazine, but she didn't mention that the article goes into depth about the two bills that are before the Senate and the House that are currently being considered and what the issues are. And I really want to encourage people to pick up the issue that'll allow them to, solidify what they've heard on the radio program and give them some direction, because we have an opportunity now to talk with our congresspeople and our senators and raise this issue and bring it, you know, into the public eye and not let it go down under the radar, because that's essentially about all we can do at this point is to make this an issue that won't go away.
You bring up a good point, because a part of these two bills, Senate Bill 517 and House Resolution 2995, is the technology transfer authorization part of the bill. And if we do transfer this technology with or without public oversight to the feds, and then they take responsibility for it, then they become culpable for the weather disasters across this country. And do our senators, do our representatives really want to take on that responsibility? And I would venture to guess that they do not. That they do not want a Katrina and then people marching in their office and lynching these. You know, it, this is...
That's what it's supposed to be. That's what it should be.
How come you sound so funny, Dave?
I don't know. Maybe because I haven't talked for a while. How's that better?
Yeah.
But this, this
that's what it should be. Watch your office start lynching. Get a rope. Next.
Well, as I said, I just want to emphasize that, you know, there, the part that we can play is very important, that we play it now and not, you know, continue to treat this as conspiracy theories and it's, you know, it's going to undermine my privilege if I admit this stuff is going on. We you know.
Well, I agree. All I'm saying is just keep an open mind, and that's what this show is all about.
Well, again, pick up the Connection magazine. It's everywhere. It's free. They also have a listing that Jeannie asked about, you know, what's in the stuff, and they have a listing of 50 ingredients that are used in cloud seeding. I don't know if these are all used in the chemtrails, but they're definitely used in cloud seeding. 50 very toxic, noxious metals and chemicals that are being used. And if that doesn't scare you into action, I don't know what will.
It sounds like someone's calling you on your
call. I will. I'll take
idea.
That call. And again, thank you all okay. so much for what, everything you're doing.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you, Theodora. Hey, you guys.
Different chemical mixtures in the different altitudes for different sorties of these planes. So they could look from above and see how the weather is literally blowing these dust lines in the wind. And until we stop the electromagnetic war, we're not going to get rid of the chemtrail.
Scott, do you think NASA should know about this?
I'm sure at some level they do.
Because I have a letter from them. They wrote me a few years back. It said, it's not our jurisdiction or our area.
Yeah,
or
right.
You know, and
but are they part of the problem?
Well, a portion of them is. Yeah. You know, they're part of the global warming problem because they were not letting their scientists speak openly and freely. You know, and, right. and they even wanted school children to count the contrails about 2 years ago. So maybe they're also trying to get surveillance to figure out how big this project is as well.
They had a question on a kids' show my wife and I saw down in San Luis Obispo a few years back. And the question was, what are those white lines in the sky? Contrails. So that was disinformation aimed at the children.
Well, I'm surprised that Terry was the only person who called who was at all skeptical. Because everybody else who's calling the program today is pretty open to what you guys
are
suggesting.
I was wondering why.
Maybe Michael in Santa Cruz, who's our next caller. There was someone in Live AOC, not Live Oak, but Live AOC, who just was on. And I don't know who that was, but they dropped off a line one, Aaron. Was it because I was taking too long to answer them? Yeah. I don't know. But here's Michael in Santa Cruz. Welcome to the Saturday Special, Michael.
Hey, Michael. How's it going?
Okay, good.
Very, very good show today. I've been waiting on it since the first advertisements I heard. I have no doubt in my mind that our weather is not being manipulated, controlled. My grandfather years ago told me that the U.S. military was working on these things. Just like with any very complicated machine or device, when you first get it, you have to learn how to use it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think it's possible. I don't really think there's a sinister thing at work here. I do believe that our military is working on controlling our weather. They just haven't figured out how to do it yet. In other words, they keep, you know, they try different things and they go awry. Two good examples of, I believe, their experiments went horribly wrong. Do you remember about 4 years ago, these two freak ice storms that hit? One of them was in North Carolina. The other one was, Kansas and Arkansas.
Scott remembers, I'm sure, but I don't.
Yeah, you need to go back and look at the jet stream patterns that created those very freak ice storms. The jet stream created a loop which was way too small for a normal jet stream flow to create. I remember seeing it on the Weather Channel radar in their jet stream pattern. I looked at it and I went, that is not normal. You know, the secret to controlling weather is jet streams. Jet streams drive everything. They flow everything. They carry the moisture. They cut the moisture off. I do believe whoever's doing this, which I think is probably our military, they are trying to figure out how to control weather patterns, period. And they're having to experiment. I mean, with anything you do, you're going to have to experiment with it. And we can't go experimenting on other people's land. We can't go to some other foreign country and try this.
That's why
we have to do it on our own turf. Otherwise, it's considered an attack.
That's why we have the massive Pacific Ocean, where there's a lot of experimentation that happens out in the Pacific. And you can see it in the cloud tops.
Oh, yeah. Well, was it you or someone else was talking about they believe the purpose of the trails in the sky so they can monitor what they're doing?
That makes sense.
You know, that makes the most sense. As far as poisoning us with all this stuff, I have a hard time accepting that.
That's a byproduct.
Say again?
That's a byproduct of the trail. Sadly.
Yeah, well, very possible.
People have taken air samples.
I mean, it's just my personal thinking that if our own military is behind this, they do in the long term have our well-being in mind, but, you know, they're just going to have to figure out how to do this.
Hey, Michael Santa Cruz.
Yes.
You're right, half right. The military probably is doing it, but who is instructing them to do it? Who is the brain behind them? Who is giving the okay, financing, and the orders? That's where you're going to go to.
It could be something that was set in place many years ago, and it's just, it simply became something that no matter what happens, we're going to do this.
Yep.
You know, like so many other black projects we have, you know, those projects are going to go forward regardless of who the president is or who the Congress is. These things are set in place, and they're going to move.
You got it.
Same thing with the weather manipulation. They started it years ago, and they said, we're going to do this regardless of anything.
That's right.
Exactly.
I say that.
They don't have
that. And as far as the Russian thing goes, we did give them technology because we had to. If we hadn't given them what we gave them, then they would have went to running their mouths to the world about what we had.
Okay,
we did
listen.
That just to shut them up.
Hey,
I believe that.
Dave, wait a second. Dave, I know you want to talk to Michael, but we have poor Bill in Monterey and we have poor Herman.
Let's get to the call.
No, it's Sherman. No, it's Herman from Watsonville. And we want to get to edit, and we only have less than 3 minutes left.
Oh, that's right.
So Michael.
I just kind of wanted to put that in.
I know, and you did. Thank you. We're happy that you did, but please don't think we're rude for blowing you off now.
No.
Here we go. All right, here. Now, Bill and Monterey, you got hung up on before, or you hung up on us. I don't know which it was. Hello?
Yeah, Mike?
Yes.
Oh, you can hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. You cut off on me after I said my first sentence.
And I thought you cut off on us, and I thought you were mad.
No, you cut off.
Okay, well, I'm happy you came back then. It wasn't me. It must have been the damn computer telephone system.
It happens, huh?
Yeah.
I was wondering, the jet stream, I was looking at the satellite photographs for the last week, and the front that we're getting is it's a humongous front. It's probably 1,000 miles wide.
Monsters.
And it's up around British Columbia, kind of the Aleutian Islands. And it seems to me what it shows is that the jet stream just brought chunks of that front down on us, and in Hawaii also. And the major front of that, I'm looking at the satellite photograph right now, that front's still way up there. So I don't know how you can control the jet stream. I mean, that jet stream goes at, what, 600-700 miles per hour or something?
One to 200. And I'd love to explain how it works, too.
You just collapse the high pressure system, it just sucks right in.
Is everybody in agreement that we're in some kind of global warming thing, too?
Absolutely. The question is the cause.
Do you remember back in 75 when they said all the scientists were in agreement for global cooling?
Until this technology turned on in 1976, and that's when the warming began.
Yeah, before that was the oncoming ice age.
I've heard dates, I think Millie went back to 45. And what caused the bad weather previous to 45, though? Because you can't say we didn't have bad weather.
No, we did.
Hellacious storm.
That was just part of the natural cycle.
This time I am cutting you off, Bill and Monterey, right. But it's nothing personal. We just want to make time for Sherman.
I understand.
Okay, thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye. Okay, Sherman in Watsonville.
Yes,
you're on
Mike,
the air.
Mike, I'll make this really quick.
Good.
Okay, St. Patrick's Day, 1999, I watched the whole Pajaro Valley being covered with chemtrails. I watched a beautifully clear sky just get totally covered. I watched the planes go back and forth. So I contacted everybody, including Congressman Farr. He contacted NOAA. NOAA contacted the FAA.
I thought you meant Noah's Ark for a minute.
Wrote back and said to him, we are not familiar with any aircraft in the civil fleet that can produce or release the white substance that was observed.
Right.
So if you want to know who's doing it, it's not the civil fleet.
Yep.
And in Parr's letter, he said a careful reading would answer my questions. So it's the military or a black budget.
Yep. Okay. Thank you, Sherman.
You're welcome, Michael.
And thank you, Scott Stevens, meteorologist in Idaho. Thank you, Richard Dunn, John Smith, whose idea this was. And thanks, Dave Allen, for co-hosting the program. You were great, Dave, as always.
By the way, tomorrow, 4 o'clock, 5 the trolling bore.
Okay. That's the end of the program. See you next week.
That's all, folks.
KSCO Santa Cruz.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Barnes. A dozen dead from Tennessee tornadoes and wicked weather continuing to threaten much of the South.